You are now listening to A Tale from a World Asunder.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Simon. I will be your GM. Joining me are the devilishly handsome Nicholas.
Ha!
And the ever-wonderful Louisa.
Hello!
In our last episode, our heroes, joined by their companions and hosts at the cave settlement of Tres Barrancas, Paz and Otavia, fought off an ambush orchestrated by members of the Meridian Survey Corps, the adventuring bands for hire that the Meridian military uses to do their dirty work in places it's harder for them to reach, some of whom had turned bestial in the same way that we know that Omar is capable of. A few residents of the settlement lost their lives, and the ambush caused chaos, but in the end was defeated.
Adelaide, the next morning, once they are awake and rested, will immediately go to Mila's door and give it a good knock.
Mila comes to answer and opens the door kind of just a little, just for a peek, dressed and ready for the day.
Ha, can we talk?
I think we'd better come in.
Thanks.
Most of the rooms in here are quite similar. They're not particularly large. This room has been set up for taking care of Omar in particular. So there's a desk for note-taking adjacent to the pretty low bed. Most people here actually just sleep on a mat rolled onto the floor, but because of Omar's condition, he has like a proper bed frame to keep him up. There's some medical supplies in the corner of the room, but it's otherwise very spartanly furnished. There's a lamp up above that glows with a semi-magical light.
Adelaide will take a look over Omar. Is he awake?
Not yet.
Okay. In a semi-hushed tone so that nobody can overhear them, but also so that he doesn't wake Omar, he's just going to say to Mila, I think we have to go. I think it's time. And I know that it has been nice to be here, and I know that they have taken care of Omar as much as they've been able to, but his condition isn't getting any better. Or rather, it's not going to get any better than it is. From here, all we are doing now is putting these people in danger.
I know that. I thought we should go as well, but where? I want to go home, but I don't know if we can be fugitives in our own city.
You know this city better than I. What's the chance of us being actually attacked in the street by a Survey Corps?
DM?
I mean, Survey Corps don't really... Their purpose isn't in the city. Your issues would be with cops. I'm going to give you two options for this check. And depending on which stat you choose, you're going to get a different kind of information.
Okay.
Because you can choose in this moment to give me history or flat wisdom.
Oh, man. I think I'm going to go with history. That's an 18 total.
You recall on that 18, you're not 100% on all of the details. But Omar's family has a home right outside of Antonia. And it is in a place that is essentially the last place cops would come looking.
Because all the rich people are there.
Exactly. That seems to you like a hiding spot of a kind that only Omar can provide, essentially.
She conveys this to Adelaide. She says, this might be a better I mean, it's the only place I really know of, and once we're in the city, I don't really want to get into touch with these people, but there's probably some people I know kind of that know how to stay hidden in Antonia.
All right.
But if we could get any more information on the military before we get there. I need to go through these ledgers, and I made some promises, and also I don't trust them.
Yeah, that is...
Not a hot take, I know, but
yeah.
Something needs to be done about it.
All right. Do you need to do the research here?
I can do it on the go.
Okay. Is there anything else you need to do here?
I need to talk to Mari before we leave.
Can we leave tonight?
We can leave after lunch.
All right. Let's leave tonight. I need to talk to a few people as well. But, I think it's time. And if you need to get into contact with anybody to tell them that we're coming...
Oh, God.
Just tell who needs to know. Surprises are fine. Let people be surprised if they need to be. But keep it on lock.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
When we get closer to the city, Omar's gonna have to be treated like cargo for a bit. He'll be fine. Wouldn't be the first time. I ain't gonna be the last. But for all of this, you will need to trust me. We'll discuss the details on the ship.
Okay.
Thank you, Mila.
No, thank you, Captain.
Of course.
I'll go wake up Omar. I'll see you later.
As the door shuts, Omar begins to stir. He's clearly waking up.
Mila goes to sit by his side on the bed and gives him a kiss good morning, puts her hand on his head and says, "Hey, we're going home. Or well, to your family home, Lac Pellegrin."
Omar has been conscious since the events of yesterday, but not a lot. He comes to, looks with some amount of confusion at Mila. "You're worried about us being followed and found?"
"I think time for worry about that is past. It's happened. They'll send more people. And I don't want more people to find you."
"Well, what Mother doesn't know won't hurt her. And I can't imagine a better place to be at present." "Well, there are several, but they would require me to be okay.
And to understand our newfound legal statuses?"
"That was part of okay. So," he raises himself up. And you see Mila for the first time since finding him. This is a soldier. This is a man who wakes up before dawn every day with a plan and the capacity to fight. Facts on the ground. Officially, I've been declared a deserter.
Correct.
You and the captain have, as payment for your rescue of me, a significant bounty on your heads. Within the scope of the territory, it may be extended further.
Regardless of the bounty and desertion, they're looking for you, though they sent the Survey Corps.
Correction, found, and can likely find again. So, we're going to need a hideout, going to need to pull some strings. All three of us are going to need a lawyer. And failing that, some incredibly proficient hitmen. But, Mila, I mean, what better couple could this happen to than a golden boy officer-to-be and his fiancée who works for the second biggest newspaper in the country? Give me an insight for this thing.
11.
Your man is scheming. But you see fight return to his eyes. He's found a way he can hurt them.
She smiles at him as well and says, yeah, we'll get him.
Adelaide, where do you go looking for the kobolds? Where do you find the kobolds?
The first thing Adelaide does is Adelaide goes to the ship. In not finding them there, he presumes they are going about their days. And so the first thing he does is he goes to the herb gardens and medical area to look for Smother. Regardless of where the other two are, Adelaide will convey to Smother that it's time to go, that they are going to Antonia, and that they're going quickly and quietly, and they're leaving tonight. And he will leave Smother to deal with everything else.
Called exit, boss.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
He will next go and find Paz. He goes to the library to see if Otavia and Paz and Mari can be found at once.
You find Mari at the library.
Ha, Mari. I don't mean to barge in on you like this. I just was wondering where Paz and Otavia were. Me and Mila, we need to go. And I just wanted to say my goodbyes. Mila should be on to you at some point to get some last things in order.
I was about to head over with some of my notes that I know she could use.
Thanks.
Paz and the chief, not sure where they are now, but in about half an hour you'll find them at the funeral.
Okay. Thanks for that. And Adelaide will turn on his heel and go to their private quarters and knock on the door.
The door opens like a crack.
Morning.
You see Paz, tie undone, but clearly like getting into a suit.
Morning.
Can I talk to you for a sec? Do you have a moment?
He nods and steps out and closes the door behind him.
It's time. I've still got some variables that I need to get under control before I leave. So, in light of that, I'd like to ask you for both a favor and a request.
Start with a request.
I need a pistol. Something small that I can hide on my body. Packs a punch. The favor is, I'd like to speak to the prisoners. Or just one of them. It's fine.
You dumb bastard. That's two requests.
Whatever. You know what I mean.
After the funeral, you come with me. We have a chat.
I'd like to leave tonight, Paz.
You will.
All right. Fine.
Listen, we have no desire to hold you here. She much less than I.
I know.
He puts a hand on your shoulder. Like, he reaches up.
Neither of us are angry. It's not about feeling anymore. This is our everything. And
why do you think I'm leaving, Paz?
I know. Just wanted you to hear it from me.
I appreciate it. I'll talk to you after the funeral.
You gonna come?
No. Adelaide will go to Mila's door knock on it, mm-hmm. and inform Mila and Omar of the funeral if they want to go. He will not go himself, but he does let them know.
Mari shows up shortly after Adelaide does, and explains that she can keep watch on Omar, and you can talk when you get back, if you do want to go.
I think one of us should make an appearance. So Mila does go. She thanks Mari and heads off.
You enter the deepest part of this cave system, of this system of tunnels and rooms, both in terms of the furthest into the mountain and the lowest to the ground. You immediately smell not rot, not the decay, but the beings that feed on decay. The fungi, the various saprotrophs that eat dead and dying. Everyone's gathered in this room. It's really a hall with a pool at its center that is ringed with fungus, like large, almost tree size fungal growth. You see as these two bodies of people who fell entirely by accident, or because they were in the way, are lowered into the pool and let to float, while a dwarven officiant hums out some words in a language you cannot understand, and the bodies are swallowed by dark water and spores and mycelium. There is no fire. There is no grave. There will be no remain of any kind. Even in death, people keep this place a secret.
Mila wants to go find Otavia.
It's not difficult. She's very visibly present at this function. You see also wearing a full, like, tuxedo with the bolo tie.
Mila walks up to both Otavia and Paz, gives Paz a bit of a awkward uncle side hug, and looks at Otavia and says, "I'm really sorry. We didn't mean for any of this to happen."
Otavia comes up to you, like kind of into a distance where you can speak and not be heard by anyone else. "The hand you were dealt is not you. It's not on your man. I'm happy that you found us when you needed us. But that hand you were dealt has put us in danger."
"I understand that."
"We'll set you up with food, with whatever you might need headed out of here. Mari has the rest of her notes. She's needed here. She did want to go with you."
Mila's heart breaks a little bit. Her brows just furrow kind of in a sad puppy face.
And you see Otavia breaks a little bit. "You don't speak Elvish, do you, Mila?"
"No."
Otavia says, "It's hard for me to describe, but I've seen what they did to your man before."
"Wait, what?"
"Walk with me. Walk with me." She takes you off through another exit of this hall. It basically away from the crowd.
"I'm sorry, miss, what are you? Sorry, Chief, what do you mean?"
You see she cracks up, first at being called Miss and then at being called Chief.
In quick succession.
"I hadn't seen Of course, his condition had been explained to me. I'd seen the runes and all, but the way he was prone like that, the way he was writhing, when one of the elders, and you're reminded in this moment that Atami is mostly elvish, when one of the elders would catch a fit during a dance, or during a, guess you could call it a prayer, they'd be prone like that for a while. And then they'd get up and they'd talk with voices they ain't never used before, or they'd I seen sober men drink a whole bottle of whiskey. I seen woman never smoked a day in her life go through a whole box of cigars. They would fall down and they'd come up different, and they'd fall down again, and then they'd come back the same.
Did they have a name for what was happening?
You see, she struggles a little bit before saying, I can't tell you.
Okay.
On account of, if you'd been there, you'd have been there, if you take my meaning.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone where you're going has a word for it. That's old magic. That's magic we had before Meridia.
But it wasn't tattoo made, was it?
Not that I can remember. I ain't surprised someone found a way to take it. Pretty good at taking shit.
Yeah. That's very helpful. That's very, very helpful. Thank you.
She is going to fold you into a slightly uncomfortable hug.
Yeah, Mila's not entirely comfortable with it, for sure. She doesn't really know what to make of... This woman doesn't really fit into the way that she's always seen things. But she hugs her back.
Like I said, she says as she pulls out, been dealt a raw hand. And I can't... I feel for you. That's all. Let us know. Have your captain let us know. Whatever you need before leaving.
Mila wipes at her face, even though she's not exactly tearing up quite yet. And
give me an insight on this moment.
That's just a 10.
I think you get an overarching sense that you as a diviner are familiar with. This is a bad situation that everyone in this conversation wishes were better. And you don't get much more than that.
Mila holds on to her hand for a moment and says, well, if in better time you and Paz want to visit the city, you'll have a place to stay.
Don't do much visiting, but the offer's appreciated.
It's the first time for everything.
During the funeral, Adelaide will pull out a chair on the deck of his ship and just smoke. Over the course of the hour that he sits there, mulling things over in his head, trying to make sense of what's going on, before he stands up to do what he needs to do, he will have found himself fingers massaging his scalp deeply, the cigarette almost left forgotten, down to the very butt. His teeth ground down to the moment when he lets it all release, takes a deep breath, sighs, puts the chair away, and goes and finds Madwin.
Right, Captain.
Madwin?
What can I do you for?
I'm going to Antonia.
That's a long way east.
I've got a lead and a crew on a way to get there. And no time to lose. Do you, you want to come? Or do you know anybody that might want to?
You hiring?
I don't have the money to pay. But free passage.
Suppose I could pick up a job in the big city, right?
No harm, no foul?
I'll let you ride.
Alright.
When do we leave?
We're leaving tonight.
Oh.
Is that alright with you?
Fuck it.
That's what I thought. I'm gonna see if I can make sure you're not the only one.
I'll get my things in order, but...
I'm gonna be busy.
Thank you for the offer, Captain.
Anytime. Adelaide will then go find Otavia. And... finding her with Mila, I assume?
Yeah, I'd say you find them exiting the hall.
Adelaide will nod to Mila and turn to Otavia and say, I don't know if you're the right person to go to, but seeing as you're the chief, I think you're probably the best person to get the word out. I'm looking to leave tonight. And I'm offering free passage to anyone who wants to go to Antonia. But it's got to be tonight.
I can put the word out.
I appreciate it.
We appreciate it. It's sad to see folks go, but glad to know they'll be safe on the way.
And just letting you know so that they know we're not making any stops. It's direct to Antonia.
Understood. Paz said you still wanted to see him.
Yeah. Do you know where he is?
She directs you to where you know the prisoners are being kept.
Okay. Adelaide will stick out his hand for a handshake.
Returned.
I appreciate you keeping me and my compatriots under your roof, despite the danger that we have brought to your doorstep. And I hope you and Paz have a happy life. And I hope that I will be able to see you again.
I hope so, too.
With that, he nods and...
As Adelaide is about to leave, Mila goes, If you're gonna talk to the prisoners, I'd like to be there.
Oh,
You know, research.
Right. Can we chat first?
Okay. He starts walking and talking with you.
Now, we both know I am not very good with my words. Between the two of us, words are not the only way to intimidate people into giving information. I have very little respect for the folks who did this to you. I would be lying if I said I was not worried about how you might think of me after I use the methods I have at my disposal to get information out of someone.
You see Mila process this, her eyes widen a little bit, her brows go up. But she nods. Between you and I, getting information out of people is my whole skill set. But, Captain, I would never judge you for doing something that I myself just don't have the kind of constitution to do. She puts a hand on his arm, says, I appreciate it. I just think I can help.
Okay.
Let me try a couple of things. If it doesn't work, I'll stand outside the door.
All right.
Thank you.
Of course. Adelaide will bring them both to the place that the prisoners are.
You're met with a standard room for this place with a little bit less of polish. Clearly like a storage room that has been refitted at the last minute for this purpose. This is not a place that had a carceral space ready for people like this. Paz greets you at the door. You both coming in?
Yeah.
Paz will look at you, Adelaide, and hand you a pretty nice looking but easily concealed revolver.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
This doesn't go off in here.
No. Adelaide will tuck the revolver into his belt, where he does actually have a holster loop, essentially. There's no actual holster in it, but it holds the pistol well enough. Mm.
They're not talking, and when they do, it's gibberish.
We'll make sense of it. Thank you, Paz. Razzie, at Adelaide's feet, walks into the room first.
What size is Razzie now, to remind us?
Razzie is still technically small, but he is larger than he has been.
Mm.
He is now like...
Schnauzer.
Yeah. Yeah. Schnauzer sized. Razzie's scales are usually black. And they are still black. But the fade at the tips of each scale is now this blinding white that one could swear has a hint of blue. Too bright to look at, almost.
Mm.
Adelaide gestures for Mila to follow Razzie.
She does, with a nod to him of thank you.
Following her, he'll close the door behind them.
You see that three men are tied up all around a barrel. So sort of legs folded under them. So that they're kneeling. They are conscious, but not speaking. They, like, look up to look at you, but then look right back down.
Mila opens up her spell book, fires off a detect thoughts.
You get surface thoughts for free on that. The first thing that hits you is volume. These thoughts are more than you've ever experienced on just a surface thought, and they're louder. And when Paz said nonsense, gibberish.
Break, crunch, snap, bite, kill, snap, break.
Over and over again. Their bodies are completely still.
Do their tattoos seem to be active?
I mean, they are on their body.
Eyes. What's going on with their eyes?
They are not showing you their eyes.
Mila messages Adelaide. Can you show me one of their eyes, please?
Adelaide nods, steps forward, crouches in front of one of them, and grabs their face by the chin and drags it up to meet his own eyes and shows it to Mila.
One eye full black, the other eye like darting around wildly, as though it was unattached to anything that it was seeing, like rapid eye movement, almost as though asleep.
Can I just look at the three of them? Do I recognize any of them?
Give me a history check. It's a long shot, but...
Two.
None of these faces ring a bell.
Mila stretches her arms and says, okay, I'm going to try something. I haven't done this one before. Don't freak out. It's going to be fine. Don't worry. And she puts her finger in her spell book, as she did for some of the spells that she cast in the combat the last time, and gets close to the man whose face Adelaide is holding up and taps his temple a few times with her pointer finger. You see kind of a circle of intermingling pink and white magic rippling through the rest of his body. She is going to use her tech thoughts to probe deeper into these man's thoughts, and also give it a nat 1 on the save with her portent roll for today.
I was kind of hoping that would happen.
That is badass as hell.
You, Mila, reach out into the depths of this mind. The chatter, the noise, drops. You get the distinct sense that the surface thoughts you picked up are what's being played, almost like a recording. You break into the deeper thought. Mila's not a reporter, but she does know them. And there have been plenty of times when a really important source has vanished because someone just burned the documents. You break in to this mind, have a moment where something sees you in here and decides to burn the document. You get hit with a searing bolt of pain, and the man, Adelaide, falls dead.
What was that? Did you just kill him?
Motherfucker, no, I didn't. I didn't kill him.
Give me an Arcana check, Mila.
That's only an 11.
I'm giving you a little bit more information because you did really well on that detect thoughts, but you're not able to analyze the situation here. The feeling you get from this mind, from that movement, from the surface thoughts into the inner thoughts, is of a tool that has been used so many times that the handle now fits the shape of the user's hand. Like, it almost wasn't hard to make this being fail on having their thoughts peered into because the mind was already so weak.
What's going on, Mila? Talk to me.
Someone, whoever's controlling them, saw me in there and just killed him before I could do anything.
Did they trace you? Do you know?
I don't know. I wouldn't say so.
And you don't know who they are?
I have a feeling. But no, I got nothing.
Any way to substantiate it?
Research?
All right.
I gotta check my sources.
Will talking to them do any good?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Hold on one second, though.
And all right.
She goes to take a look. She wants to look and check all of the markings on their bodies and kind of do like a comparison a little bit of like, are these the same? Is there anything to notice here?
Investigation.
Okay.
Can Adelaide, while she's doing that, take out a notebook and try to draw all the tattoos as accurately as possible?
Uh-huh.
This is a 19 on the die plus my 7 investigation. It's going to be a 26.
Pieces of information you're able to glean from the tattoos. Faded. So much older.
Okay.
Oh, there's so much information. Okay.
Let's go.
They're simpler. And that's both design-wise and magically. Fewer individual runes. Very simple magic. But very effective.
Are the runes for the same spells?
The same basic stuff is all there. There's less meta magic going on. You also see that these are not the only tattoos that these men have. As in, they have tattoos that are not related to magic. Like Omar has told you about these. They have tattoos designating them as members of the Fifth.
Where is the Fifth Escadria?
You would know that the Fifth is one of two units that's mostly from Albaran.
Okay. That's where fucking Masquerade is from, I think.
So you get identifying tattoos. These were not initially Survey Corps, is more or less what you glean from that. The tattoos they do have are much more of the elvish content.
Mila relays that to Adelaide.
Adelaide is going to look through what they have on them and see if there are any papers or identification cards or letters of passage, letters of declaration, anything that might identify them.
Nothing.
Okay.
That's not suspicious.
The benefit of dressing up your bruisers as Survey Corps is no one expects adventurers to have their paperwork in order.
Adelaide will swear and say, all right, so if nothing else, our suspicions are confirmed, and we're probably in a lot more danger than we thought.
You see Mila's mind kind of going a mile a minute as she tries to put together what they know, her eyes kind of darting from one place to the other without really looking anywhere. But then she looks up at you and says, we can't let them find Omar again. We can't let them take him.
We won't. Not gonna happen. But we gotta go somewhere that they will have at the very least consequences if they try and do something in the open like this.
Okay, I need to talk to Mari before this migraine sets in, and then I need to lie down for like 48 to 72 hours.
I'll set a bed up for you in the ship. I'll get Omar on board and get everything ready. We're gonna have some passengers, but you and Omar will have your room to yourselves.
Mila looks a little too relieved by that.
Yeah, then Adelaide will go and set up Freedom's Wings, start the paperwork process for every single person that wants to come on, including Madwin and whoever else joins, will start setting up the ship. He will set aside that room that Omar was in for Omar and Mila, spruce it up a little bit, put the nicer sheets on there, royal treatment. And will, for the rest of the passengers, set up enough cots in the living space, start setting up the dining room for the number of people, and just basically make the ship ready to receive people.
Snap comes up to you as you're setting up and goes, how many for dinner tonight, Captain?
DM question, how many people come on the ship?
I'm just straight up gonna roll a d20.
Great.
14, including that one. You see a couple of families. You've seen that kind of defeat before, of just like, the West really wasn't for us in the way we thought it was gonna be, as people begin to board.
Adelaide turns to Snap and says, 17.
Uh-huh.
Not including yourselves.
Pork and beans and cabbage.
Excellent. And Adelaide will, with Smother, welcome everybody aboard and make sure that all the paperwork is in order. And essentially what Adelaide does is he asks for a senior and he gives a senior back. They have paid for the passage and he has given them a gift of a senior. And anybody he needs to, he will explain this to. He will then have Smother lead each person to their designated cot and give them a quick tour of the ship. Where is off limits? Where is limits? Where they're allowed to be? Normal business. Start setting everything up.
Nothing suspicious to see here. Mila would like to just kind of talk to Mari as they're readying to leave.
So as you begin setting up, Mari's on the deck chatting with you.
So she tells Mari both about the prisoner, and she mentions also what Otavia told her about the elders.
Listen, I just wish I had more time with you. I mean, I'm an abjurer, and we only got to figuring out what was going on. Just know that I'll be working on something.
I appreciate that.
And as soon as I feel like I have some worth sending, I'll find a way to send it to you.
Oh, God, speaking of sending, can I get off one last one?
You know there's a price, but I can hand it to you.
Yeah, we'll pay. Let me write that in a second, but the captain mentioned you had notes?
She hands you a packet of paper. This is what we've been collecting while you've been here. I mean, I'm glad to see he's walking, I'm glad to see he's moving, but this is everything magically that we've found out so far. Whatever you can get from this, and I don't know if you need to take this to someone, or... No. You got this.
Thanks, Mari. One last thing to ask of you. Do you know of any potential... I mean, I'm sorry to infer, but you did leave the army, right?
That I did.
Do you know of any potential kind of weak links to tug at if we were looking for information?
I mean, your man's probably better connected than I am. I left a good long while ago, and we all know that the lieutenants are a bunch of, you know, potentially traitorous bastards. But, I mean, war mages, that's a locked box. It took me a while to leave, because it took me a while to realize how bad things were.
When we got here, you mentioned that this was something you'd seen in theory and didn't think it could be made true. Where did you see that? Where could I dig?
She writes an address on a piece of paper and hands it to you. You can never be too careful. I'd memorize this and burn it.
I got a little something for that.
It's a... Let's call him a colleague. I left. He was discharged. Old geezer. But could still be useful.
Mila holds both of her hands and says, thank you for everything.
Take care, kid.
Will do.
Tell that lieutenant to fix his posture.
I'll tell him, all right.
And with that, Mari is going to depart off of the deck. I'll say at some point while you're prepping, Adelaide, Paz comes up to you.
Ah.
You ready?
Near enough.
We loaded plenty of supplies, some of the local stuff.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I do. And, I'll let you know I can't make any promises.
I know.
But if I can, I'll come back. And, I gotta say you chose well.
I did.
I'm proud of you.
My thanks, friend. Well, you know, the two things I can never stop running into is you and my bad luck, so we'll meet again.
Unfortunately. I mean, you know.
Huge bear hug.
Returned in kind, heartily.
Safe flight.
Safe home.
We mean to keep it. And Paz will depart off the ship.
Within ascending, Mila says,
Dear Rain, coming to DC with Omar. In caps, keep secret with 5 exclamation marks. Bring supplies to Lac Pellegrin. And your sister, if you can still trust her. Love, Mila.
Mila, I'll be there. Secret safe. Supplies a little vague. I'll do my best. Love, Rain.
Mila turns to Adelaide and says, okay, I've let one person know we're coming because they can help. Secret safe with them.
I'm ready when you are.
Yeah, I think we'd better while we still have the heart for it.
Mila, thank you.
I haven't paid you yet.
It's not about payment. It's... Just take it. It's fine. Thanks.
Okay.
And now you get to see me actually do some work with some real people around. No offense.
I'm not real people? What's that supposed to mean?
I shouldn't have said anything.
Snap sets the table for 17. Smother is giving the children of the families a tour and kind of keeping an eye out for them. Madwin has already begun drinking. The passengers are all secured. The rooms are clean. Omar is as good as he's been.
And over the intercom, the whole ship hears.
Good evening, passengers. Welcome to your flight aboard Freedom's Wings. There will not be any stops between here and Antonia. If you have any questions, concerns, or comments, please let any of the three staff members, or myself, Captain Adelaide, know. I hope you enjoy your flight.
Tales from World Asunder is Louisa Zanardi as Mila, Nick Sturman as Adelaide, and Simon Ivchevich as the world falling apart around them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Dear passengers, welcome aboard a direct non-stop flight aboard Freedom's Wings from Tres Barrancas to the capital city of Antonia. We're currently preparing for takeoff and are expected to be in the air in approximately 15 minutes' time. We please ask that you take this opportunity to fasten any valuables, belongings, or other baggage as they may move around the cabin during takeoff. Emergency exits are just sort of get off the ship when we crash. In case of a fire aboard the vessel, please find either myself, another of my associates, or Captain Adelaide at your nearest convenience. Thank you for choosing Freedom's Wings and Captain Adelaide. All right, boys, let's get going.